You're listening to Between the Stripes League of Ireland podcast. Follow our Mixcloud account now and never miss an episode. Check us out on Twitter at Between Stripes. Search us on Facebook and Instagram, Between the Stripes. And add us on Snapchat, BTS1924. For more, see our website, betweenthestripesblog.wordpress.com. Thank you for your support.
You're all very welcome to episode 9 of the Between the Stripes League of Ireland podcast. Episode 9, only 1 week to go, John, until our big number 10 show next week. But on this week's show, we have another belter lined up for everybody. We're going to be joined by Limerick reporter Mike Ahern as he discusses the troubles on Shannon's side at the moment. Are the Super Blues heading back to the First Division? He's going to tell us that. We're joined by Port Marnock manager Willie O'Leary as they have a massive cup game coming up next weekend against St. Patrick's Athletic. And we're going to be joined by Bohemian striker Dinny Corcoran. He's having an absolutely belter of a season for the Gypsies. And what a week they've had with two big wins. And it's only going to get better at Dalymount Park, it seems. We're also going to discuss the latest transfer news and other events happening within the League of Ireland in the past couple of days. You're all very welcome to episode 9 of the Between the Stripes League of Ireland podcast. So I'm joined again this week by Yeovil man, John Breyer. John, you're very welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kieran. And yeah, good busy week, and we've got some great interviews coming up. But one thing I want to quiz you about, Kieran, is we've a full house in the Aviva to watch Manchester United, but we can't get one man and his dog to come and watch Longford Town.
Well, it wasn't actually full, John, believe it or not, because the FAI made an absolute shambles of the ticketing situation. I was reading this morning on Twitter. They left a buffer zone between the two fans, and then they forgot to sell those tickets. So apparently, right, Manchester United weren't happy with the big empty seats at the Aviva, you know, PR and all that. So well done to the FAI.
Yeah, exactly. But what's wrong with the Irish fans? Why aren't we getting behind our local teams? Why do we have to go and watch Manchester United?
And pay 80 quid to go and watch Manchester,
exactly,
United in a very dull friendly. I watched the game on television and I thought it was a very poor game of football. And I was actually watching a local game in Longford yesterday, believe it or not. So I do take in stuff other than the League of Ireland, watching a semi-final in the local league. And the entertainment was great. You just can't beat live football, John. And that's, I know they're going to say, you know, Manchester United is live football, but it's not the same when you're not following it every week.
No, it's only friendly as well. So, you know, pretty meaningless in the big scheme of things.
Yeah,
you might get to see these superstars like Lukaku and what have you. But at the end of the day, it's just a friendly. And, you know, are they going to be playing 100% when it's not a competitive match?
And that's where we've seen the crazy money last night shelled out for the Barcelona man, Neymar. So, you know, I just think modern football and the League of Ireland, they're just so worlds apart. I prefer the grit of the League of Ireland, let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's a shame there's a few more think the same way.
Speaking of grit, it was a great Dublin derby last week.
Absolutely, yeah, and we're going to talk about that one later, aren't we?
Yeah, we have Dinny Corcoran on the show, and he's in the form of his life this season, John.
Yeah, and I asked you, Kieran, what has happened to Bowes, didn't I, a few weeks ago?
Yeah,
and
great.
And boy, they've completely turned things around.
I think I spoke about it with Dinny in the interview, obviously the return of Akinade is a big boost to Bowes. And I know I've seen Alan Cawley tweeting during the week saying that he feels that in this league that if you have two big physical strikers, it'll get you a long way. And I certainly feel that way looking at this Bowes team.
Yeah, definitely.
But we're going to have a look now at the transfers that happened across the transfer window. Of course, it closed there just a couple of days ago. And there were some big moves in both the Premier Division and the First Division. And we're going to discuss that now. So, John, we'll kick things off by starting to take a look at the recent transfers in the League of Ireland. Have you picked out any notable moves among the clubs?
Well, I was looking to see what the equivalent of the Neymar deal was,
I think if you put all the deals together, you'll probably pay about an hour's wages for Neymar, John.
Yeah, but the one that, I suppose, raised my eyebrows quite a bit was Robbie Williams, actually, going to Cork from Limerick.
Yeah, it was only recently that I seen online that Robbie Williams actually had scored 14 goals over his four. I didn't realise had been at Limerick that long. It seems a lot shorter, but 14 goals over his 4.5 season spell, so for a centre half that's quite impressive. He doesn't look like the most how can I put this without offending anybody,
agile
defender, but he's definitely got a good footballing brain on him, and he's a lot of experience from his time across the water. And with Cork, I suppose, cruising towards the title at the moment, he'll come in there and he'll just do a job. And it's probably a clever signing from John Coffey.
Yeah,
a surprising one, but a clever one.
Yeah, I remember him playing over in England, and he was always a decent professional. You know, you'd rather have him in the team than not. So, you know, it's a good signing, I think, and hopefully shored up. But having said that, Limerick's defence hasn't exactly been this season, has it? But hopefully he'll go in there and do a job. But, you know, we'll have a quick look at the clubs one by one. So yeah. Bohemians, there's not too much in there, is there? Not Georgie points, and they've extended loan on his deal, and Kieran O'Connor from Dundalk as well.
Yeah, Georgie got the winner, of course, from the penalty spot against Cork City, which was huge, and Kieran O'Connor was doing absolutely fantastically for Finn Harps this season until the deal brought him to Bohemians. So they are two good signings, and it should not just help Bohemians push on, but it should help the two young players develop, which is always good to see.
Yeah, it's a team on the up, isn't it, Bose? And that can only help. But, you know, looking at Bray next, Kieran, where do we start with Bray?
Yeah, news came out today about Bray. I'm sure you've seen it yourself, John, in the papers, that there's plans to build 400 flats on the Carlisle grounds. Shock, surprise, not really.
No surprise there, I'm afraid.
But amazingly, for everything that's going on, they've brought in Ryan Coulter, who was with Drogheda. He was just acting as cover at Drogheda, and imagine he'll do the same at Bray.
Yeah, well, they don't want him in the first team, I don't think.
No, unfortunately, he didn't act as cover for Longford last season. He let in a lot of goals, so we'll move on, because I don't think that's a great sign, and I don't know why Bray have done that. But
but of course, they have a big Dylan Connolly hole in the side now as
well.
Yeah,
that was a big loss to Bray, and they're starting to really slip away. We'll obviously talk about that when we're going through the fixtures and results, but Europe is really starting to slip away for Bray.
Yeah, looking at Cork, you know, they brought in Robbie Williams, we've talked about, sadly, as a big signing.
Big signing, hasn't really had his chance yet, but... I know from Cork fans we've spoken to on the show, they really expect him to kick on the next season, particularly.
They're not looking as great as they were before, but, you know, that's how they're surprising when you lose players like Maguire and O'Connor.
Yeah, I suppose the surprise, transfer-wise, for Cork is that they haven't brought in a replacement. I know when we discussed it, I alluded to the fact that John Caulfield probably wouldn't rush in and just sign the first striker that came to his mind, because, in all sense, the title's wrapped up. So,
he's still got Shepherd scoring goals as well.
Yeah,
so.
There's lots of players chipping in from wide positions for Cork, so why bring a player that could maybe disrupt the dressing room? You know, I'm sure Caulfield probably has a name in mind for next season that he'll go and attack. So, you know, there's still plenty of good quality players there for Cork City, and we shouldn't see too much drama between now and the end of the year there.
No, Derry made a host of new signings, Kieran. Is there any?
One player that's stood out in his first few games has been Darren Cole, which was brought in from Broxburn Athletic.
Scottish club, is it, I think?
I'm not actually sure, John, to be honest with you, but a surprising signing. But Kenny Shields seems to have this talent of signing players in from unknown locations and turning them into real superstars. We've seen a lot of foreign players come into Derry last season, and they were absolutely excellent. And he's brought in a host of players here again, and I don't think there's any reason Derry can't push on now and challenge Dundalk for that second spot.
Yeah, agreed. And moving on to Drogheda, they've lost some more players, haven't they?
The whole spine of the squad has just completely fallen apart. Killian Brennan left, Mark Griffin left, Garrett McCaffrey left very early in the season when he was their top scorer on 5 goals. Yeah. And most recently, one of their most experienced players, Sean Thornton, has retired mid-season. So when you look at the players they brought in, Chris Mulhall does look to be a decent prospect, but I don't think he's going to dig a team out of a relegation battle on his own. And while Sean Russell scored an absolute screamer on his debut against Sligo, we've seen from his spell at Longford that he's not a consistent player, so I can't see anything but relegation for Drogheda, and maybe you get the sense that they might already be starting to plan for First Division football next season.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Kieran. I mean, those big name outs without really replacing them would sound a bit that way, unfortunately, for Drogheda. Dundalk let a few players go this transfer window, including big name Paddy Barrett.
Yeah, well, we did speak about him on the show a couple of weeks ago. You might have remembered me saying that I felt players like Paddy Barrett were playing for their future at Dundalk. And I know there was a couple of issues off the field there, and it was absolutely no surprise. He was actually linked with a move to Shamrock Rovers for a long time, so...
Okay.
The only thing surprising about the move is the fact he's gone to Waterford, and we've seen this season he is a liability trying to play out from the back, but physically in the air he is a good defender, so you'd imagine he'll fit right in the First Division for Waterford, and they're going to be on a cake roll now to the title at this stage.
And what about that wise old head Ollie Hogan? He keeps pulling these players out, doesn't he? I mean, Mark Timlin, good
sign. Mark Timlin's a fantastic sign. He scored on his debut. I know it was a deflected free kick, but I know Derry fans will say that he didn't live up to the hype after his move from St. Pat's. But as a footballer, he's a great wide player. He'll get at players, he'll attack. He's exactly the type of player that Ollie Horgan will love to work with.
And tell me about this fella, Ibrahim Keita.
Yeah, French player, come in.
Where's he signed from, Kieran?
Oh, I'm not pronouncing that, Jack. Yeah, he's come in, he's gone under the radar, but he got a goal at the weekend, and he really looks to have just settled instantly, so that's another I don't know where Ollie Horgan's pulled that one out of, but that's an inspired signing. And obviously, at the very beginning of the season, we mention him every week, but Paddy McCaw has just been a joy to watch this season for Finn Harps, and keeping a hold of him was probably their best piece of business.
And he's turned our ex-striker into a goal machine.
Eddie DeSantis up for player of the month.
Yeah. I mean, we criticised him a few weeks back and yeah. Look how he's responded. If you remember, he must have been listening.
If you remember when we had Nigel Hegarty on the show, he said that he felt Eddie was the type of player that just needed one goal to get going. He got the goal and now he can't stop.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And you find players like that, they just have a run of form, and that's what they just need a fluky goal to go in. And
once again, what a great job Ollie Horgan is doing.
Yeah, fabulous.
So moving on to Galway there, John. Vinnie Fatterley, only 2 goals this season for the Tribesmen, but he has gone to Sligo, and despite his lack of goals this season, you would think he's going to be a major signing for the bit already.
Yeah, you'd think they're looking to him to keep them up, really, aren't they?
But the real headline, Lee Grace has gone to Shamrock Rovers for a fee. How shocked were you at that, considering Galway's predicament in the table?
Well, I think money talks, doesn't it? So I don't know what the proposed fee was. But look, he's been the best player the last few weeks. He's stood out. I know we've talked previously about Galway and said that they've not really got
the quality
in there. But this lad's stood out for me last few weeks. And
Is the white flag been raised at MDC Park?
It looks that way, doesn't it? Mm. It really looks that way.
I know the club released a statement after it, and basically the headline to come out with that was that they had reluctantly accepted the transfer, but they had to put the long-term financial stability of the club over trying to stay in the Premier Division. They're not saying that they're not trying to stay in the Premier Division, but financial comes first, so I think that's where that deal has come from.
Yeah, it's funny though, isn't it? I mean, the cost of Galway relegation would be a lot more than, you know, the cost of the league.
Nobody really knows what the fee is, so I suppose you'd have to see the books to know that. But just on the flip side of that, John, does this put more pressure on Stephen Bradley? He's paid out for another player here. I don't think anyone's going to disagree that Shamrock Rovers are underperforming this season.
No, I think they are, but you know, it's a smart signing for me. It's a smart signing. He's a good player and it'll strengthen that team. I like Bradley's thinking with that signing.
Mm. So we've already discussed Limerick. We won't spend too much longer on them, but just to recap, they have let go 7 players recently.
Ian Turner, Robbie Williams, Paul O'Connor, Chris Mullen.
One of those was a loan. Tommy Robson's loan deal expired, of course. So
yeah, they're all first team players that have gone, Kieran.
They haven't been replaced, John. That's the big issue here. Obviously, Hank Cameron's come in from Blackpool, but he'll take time to adapt to the league. And Joe Crow also on loan from Norwich City. They've brought in no real experienced League of Ireland players. And when a team is in a relegation battle, I think that's the first thing you look for is experience in the dressing room. And Limerick have certainly lost a huge chunk of that this week.
They have, yeah. They'll be hoping McDonald's has a few aces in the deck to bring in.
Mike Fields, they'll stay up. Your point of view?
Yeah, I think they will. I think they've got enough cushion at the moment to stay up. I think they had too good a start to the season with the two strikers on fire. And, now Tuss's goals have dried up. You know, they're being dragged down. The defensive weaknesses stand out more. But I think they'll be okay. I think they'll be safe.
So we've mentioned Lee Grace going to Shamrock Rovers. There was 2 other minor deals there. We won't spend too long discussing them. So moving on then to Sligo Rovers. Vinnie Fatterley in. They brought in Omar Houghton from Stafford Rangers in England. We've seen a lot of deals like this happening lately in the League of Ireland. We've seen it with Conor Clifford coming in from Boreham Wood, and he has not hit the league running at all. Do you feel players like that, maybe it's time for the League of Ireland to stop looking to that very low level in England?
I think they are too low a level, Kieran, to be honest. And you know, you're right with Clifford. You know, he didn't pull up any trees.
We see another one there on Sligo's list as well. Benny Iggeon, he's come in from Scarborough, but he scored and he seems to have made a good impact. So I suppose it's just hit and miss. It's like any player you sign, you just don't know, really.
Absolutely. And Scarborough wouldn't be a conference club. You know, they'd be... I'm just trying to think what league they'd be in, but Conference North are absolute best, Kieran. You know, it's not a high standard of football.
The one player I would pick out that has come in would be Reece McKay from Dunfermline. He's played with some high-profile clubs in the past, and he looks to be a really quality midfield player, so I think that can be a big impact. And now with Vinnie Fatterley ahead of him, he'll have something to really aim for. So I think we're going to see an upturn in form from Sligo Rovers in the coming weeks. But obviously, as we mentioned earlier, they've lost Sadler, which was huge. Moving on to St. Pat's, John.
St. Pat's, yeah, Jody Ball came in free agent. He's looked good, hasn't he?
Wow, what a signing from Liam Luckey. I think he raised a few eyebrows. You know, a Dutch defender coming into the League of Ireland has previously played in Scotland and didn't really look to pull up any trees in Scotland, but he's just come in and he looks to be an absolutely quality player.
But you know what they've done? They've signed 4 very good players. You know, a club in relegation trouble, and they've signed 4 decent names there. Bob Brennan, Owen Garvin, Ian Turner. You look at all 4.
Is that something Limerick should have done?
I think so, yeah. But do they think they're safe? They may still bring players in, you know, free agents and things to bring in. But for me, that's exactly what they need to do, St. Pat's, you know, and it's turning them around.
Moving on to the first division, John. Roddy Collins has been in action during the transfer window. Do you want to run us through that?
Well, how many has he signed?
Yeah, four from Longford.
Yeah, well, did he want 13 players or something at one stage?
Yeah, 10 or 13. Mark Wheatley was one of the names linked for a long time, but that failed to come true.
Yeah, so he signed four from Longford. Ian Fletcher, who, to be honest, I didn't even realise was still at the club.
Yeah, I think he only played maybe about 20 minutes of a Leinster Senior Cup game, and I think, strangely, he was played out of position, actually. When he came into the club, we were told he was a central midfield player, and in the friendly and the Leinster Senior Cup game I seen him in, he looked extremely uncomfortable on the ball and a very poor first touch. But then when I spoke to people after he'd left Longford, I was told that he was a centre-back, so I don't know why Alan Matthews was playing him in the middle of the park, but maybe that's why he's not in charge of Longford anymore.
Well, I suppose the big two names, the big two that left Longford, Ender Curran and Stephen Walsh, you know, they're going to bring him some experience there. They've been there, done that, but you know, they found themselves on the fringes of the team at Longford.
Yeah, well, Walsh had a great start to the season. I know he's probably a bit like Paddy Barrett in a sense, good defensively, but can just be caught out trying to play out with the ball. Mm-hmm. Lost his place in the team then when Noel Haverty returned and came in. Daniel O'Reilly's form has been absolutely superb this season. So basically, he didn't want to just sit on the bench for the rest of the campaign, and he followed Enda Curran to Athlone. Curran was a complete and utter flop at Longford. Let's call a spade here. I know he scored, what, it was six goals.
He got a great hat-trick against Athlone, including that free kick.
That free kick. yeah, so he scored, and he got two in the home game against Shells as well. But after that, he spent more time injured than he did actually playing. So that was a poor sign, and I think he's really going to have a good spell with Athlone if he wants to be considered for another move, because he's had a few poor spells now, particularly Longford, Derry, and last season with Galway, he didn't really feature at all. So it's a big move now for Enda Curran. The other player then into Athlone this week from Longford, Itanda Nkolo, a league winner with the club in 2014.
He wasn't with Longford though, was he? He was playing junior level.
Previously with Longford, yeah. He was previously with St. Peter's as well in Athlone. Hard to know what he'll bring to the team, John. What did you make of him during his spell with Longford?
Well, he's a bit of pace, hasn't he? A bit of talent about
it. A bit of pace and a bit of trickery, but very inconsistent.
Yeah, he can be, yeah. And you get that with a lot of wingers, you know, they float in and out of games, be consistent. And I think we saw that with Dylan McGlade, didn't we, earlier this season?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's another Roddy signing, isn't it? He's needed to shake that team up, and that's what he's doing. So we'll see if it all gels for him.
Can they avoid bottom spot now, or will Wexford be finishing there?
Don't know, tough one to call.
Yeah, Wexford, we'll speak about Wexford now, because they actually brought in some very good players on loan. The one that really stands out is Aaron Dobbs, who came in from Shamrock Rovers. He looks to be an excellent young striker, a real physical presence with a bit of pace about him. And they've brought in some other young players as well. Danny Bulger has come in from St. Patrick Boys. Mikey Byrne has come in from Cretard United. Conor Dunn, another former Longford Town man, he's with Maynooth Town. But the real one that I've heard a lot about and did look impressive when I seen him recently, Dean Kelly, who came in from local club New Oak.
Not the other Dean Kelly.
No, not the former, no. We have enough former Longford players discussed on this show already. But yeah, a lot of young players with a lot of potential, and the way Damien Locke is trying to coach them down there, I think we're going to see an upturn, not just this season, but next season from Wexford.
Okay. I've been impressed with a couple of Cavan Teely signings.
Yeah, do you want to run us through them, John?
Well, Gareth McCaffrey. I know you were talking about him at Drogheda.
Oh, I would have loved to see him sign for Longford.
Yeah, you had him scouted, didn't you?
Yeah, just five goals at the start of the season for Drogheda. He was instrumental last season in their promotion push. A really technical player. He can kind of drop into the 10 and play off the shoulder at the same time. It's not something you see a lot in the league. So I think he's going to be... might take him a little while to settle at Cavan Teely, but next season, I think, if he's still there, he's going to shine for Cabo.
And they've brought back UCD's Europa League hero, Ryan Swan, from Exeter.
I'm slightly disappointed with that, to be honest, because I thought Ryan would go on and have a really good time of things in England.
I did too, yeah.
So it's disappointing to see him return so soon, but we see it all the time in the League of Ireland. Young players come back, they get a spell of games, that he'll get a big move to the Premier Division, and then he'll go back over to England when he's ready, and hopefully we'll see another Shawnee Maguire to emerge.
Yeah, and they had a good season last season at Exeter, so I think once you're not in the team and the team's performing, it's very difficult to get back in.
Yeah, we've seen it with the likes of Richie Towell going over, how hard it is to break into to a good team over there. That's a couple of other decent signings there from Cabo. Peter Gerrard came in from Wayside Celtic. Wayside would be the former club of Davy O'Sullivan, of course, so some good players come out of that club, and I think we'll see a good finish to the season from Cabo. Our opponents at the weekend, of course, are Cove, and they brought in an absolutely top quality fullback in John Kavanagh from Cork City.
Yeah, great signing for Cove, isn't it?
Yeah, he's had his injury issues the last while, so he's been sent out really to Cove to get some game time, but I really think that's a brilliant signing. But Cove, of course, they lost Jason Abbott and they've lost Matthew Whelan. They've both taken up either full-time work or gone on scholarships, so that's something that a lot of the teams in the first division have struggled with this season.
Yeah, and I suppose it's always going to be an issue, isn't it, with amateur status, and you know, if somebody's got the opportunity of full-time work, then... Yeah. And that's
speaking of amateur football, Longford Town have brought in three, well, they wouldn't all be amateurs, but a couple of amateur players have come in. Peter Hopkins is a winger that's come in from Sheriff YC, and Kian Byrne has come in from Lucan, who is also a winger.
Yeah, two players I know very little about, to be honest, Kieran. So, yeah, they're both wide men, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, the other player to come in on deadline day was Alan Keogh from Bray Wanderers. He's a left full slash left wing back. So are we looking and seeing Fenn looking for some really attacking, pacey players to fit into this new system?
I think that's quite clearly how it's going to work. He's also, you know, he signed. We talked about Sam Verdon. We talked to Sam Verdon the other week, didn't we? And Paul Finnegan. So, you know, both comfortable players on the ball.
Yeah, Sam was really impressed since he came in his two games. Scored on his debut, but not just scored, was really impressive and controlling during the game in the midfield. The performance against Shells, we'll talk about later when we run through the results, was poor. But Sam did stand out again as a good ball player and someone that's willing to get stuck in. Paul Finnegan came on off the bench when Noel Haverty got his injury at the weekend, and he looked really comfortable on the ball, and I'd actually expect him to start the game at the weekend.
Yeah.
And the one player we haven't mentioned who's come in for Longford, Kaleem Simons, returned for to the club from Bohemians. And interestingly, John, I don't know, did you notice it at the weekend, but he was wearing the number 9 jersey, which would suggest he's going to be a centre forward as opposed to a winger.
I noticed he's got green boots instead of pink ones as well this time, so that might change his fortunes.
Once colour they are, once he puts them in the net, isn't that right, John?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Moving on to Shelburne.
Yeah, a couple of wins. Jamie Doyle from Bowes.
Yeah, got a goal against Longford at the weekend, and I did highlight that online has been a very good signing for Shells. He's a player with a lot of potential.
Yeah, and the release Lorcan Shannon, I'm surprised about that.
Yeah, wasn't really getting a look in at Shelburne. I think you'll know yourself from having watched him at Longford, a really good, hard-working player.
Yeah.
A good lad as well to have in the dressing room. Not, great with the fans, but very, very inconsistent. So maybe that's just come into play there. Robert Bailey left earlier in the transfer window, another experienced player, and Jack Chu also left. So Owen here, I suppose he's just still trying to it's a very tight budget they have there. He's trying to do the best he can. It was a great result for him at the weekend, and I think they'll push on in the second half of the season.
Agreed, yeah. Very little action at UCD.
Yeah, but they don't really need to change anything, John, do they?
No. I think the league's gone for them now, but no, that's right. It's a case of see how they go the rest of the season. And Waterford, we already talked about Paddy Barrett. They're just rubber stamping the title now.
Yeah, the other big signing there, obviously coming in from Doncaster, is Paul Keegan, a player of immense experience.
And like I said, I was impressed with him on his debut. I know you didn't see, you weren't quite at the same level as I thought he played.
Yeah, maybe it was just, you could obviously tell he was lacking in match fitness. You know, he did tire a lot. As I mentioned on that show when we discussed him, I felt Longford's style of play just suited him on the night that they were trying to play through the middle, and he just broke everything up. I thought if they kind of went round him a little bit more, the pace would have killed him, but we didn't use the ball very well that night. So it'll be interesting to see when he does come up against pacier players in the league, how he's going to manage. Will he have the experience just to get his body in the right position, or are we going to see him caught out of position? Two big outs there at Waterford. Kenny McAvoy, a lot was expected of him, former Tottenham man.
Yeah.
Had a couple of issues. It hasn't worked for him.
Again, he's another one that's floated around non-league in England.
Yeah,
he's
been it's a good example, all right. And then Dave Mulcahy, another player of immense League of Ireland experience. He's eventually, I think he's retired now. So
no 200 million signings then?
No 200. Waterford have all the money, but no 200 million signings.
Very good.
So that was the transfers in the League of Ireland. And we're going to move on now, John, to look at the results from the weekend.
Okay, Kieran, so we're going to have a look at the results this week. And we're going to start off with that big Dublin derby.
Yeah, I'd love to get your thoughts on it, John. A lot of people after the game said it was an absolutely excellent game of football, but I think they might be confusing entertainment with standard, because for me it was a very poor standard of football on the night, particularly from Shamrock Rovers, who I thought were extremely, extremely poor.
Yeah, he's back, isn't he? Ismail Akinadi.
Yeah, you might have seen I had just a little exchange with Alan Cawley on Twitter. He was just saying how impressed he was with Bowes and how below par Shamrock Rovers were, and I made the point that I felt in this league that two really physical strikers could get you a long way, and he agreed with me on that. So I think we're Akinade and Corcoran up front. They linked up so well on the night.
That's where he got his ideas from Soccer Republic then, because he was talking about the formation, you know, with the two lads up front, Corcoran and
yeah, that's to get me on, I think. I'll go cheap on it, you know. So, but we've seen Corcoran, he got a goal and he hit the post as well. We've seen Corcoran and Akinade link up for that absolutely stunning strike from Akinade after 27 minutes.
Exactly, yeah. He's just, for
so
me, he must be a nightmare for defenders to deal with.
Corcoran's a big lad as well, so the two centre-backs are going to be wrecked at the end of the night.
Yeah, Corcoran's great technique as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, McAllister got a goal to equalise it on 30 minutes. I think a lot of people felt then that Rovers would push on and get back in, you know, kind of maybe go ahead or put a lot of pressure on Bowes, but it just didn't happen.
No, that's true. And
such a flat performance from Shamrock Rovers, I felt.
Yeah, it was.
In a derby game, of all things.
Take nothing away from Bowes. They played really well.
Bowes were very good, very well organised, and we've spoken so many times on this show this season about Keith Long and the job he's doing.
Yeah.
We've mentioned Ollie Horgan earlier in the week as a manager of the year contender. Keith Long has to be up there as well.
I think so, but I don't think we can let this match go without talking about this concussion issue. Yeah, young lad Bone.
I couldn't believe he was let back on the pitch. It looked like he was after doing 12 rounds with Conor McGregor.
Yeah, shocker, wasn't it?
It was terrible, unbelievable. Decision. And then, I'm sure you've seen, John, where he made the mistake. It didn't look like he knew where he was. He looked like he was just dazed and confused. He kicked the ball back to the Bowes player and they got the goal from that. He's taken off then and he's berated in front of everybody by his manager. I couldn't believe that.
No, it was poor. It looked very, very poor.
Yeah, Stephen Bradley's taken a lot of flack in the media this week for that. I think he should come out and apologise to his player, because for a young player to be berated like that after, you know, the injury he clearly wasn't right.
No, he wasn't right, and you see his error led to the goal, didn't it?
And it's also something I mentioned after the game. It's something that I've seen a couple of times in the league this season. I know there was two incidents that alone this season where one, the goalkeeper suffered a head injury and he played on in the game.
Okay.
Despite a lot of people thinking he may have suffered from concussion, and then there was a game a couple of days later in the Leinster Senior Cup and he didn't play. So that was interesting. And again, a game involving Athlone later in the season, there was another incident of clash of heads.
Yeah.
So it's something I think the league and the people running the league are going to have to look at, because it's very serious.
It is. It's very dangerous. You know, I mean, medical background myself, you know, I know how dangerous that can be. Mm. So it needs to be cut out.
Yeah, we've seen in other sports where they've really got on top of it.
Yeah. And rugby, for instance.
Even in the Premier League in England now, they've really started to clamp down on it. Yeah. And I think that's something the FAI are really going to have to look at.
Absolutely, Karen. Yeah.
So we'll move on, John, then to Drogheda losing 1-0 to St Patrick's Athletic. Pats look to be pulling clear and Drogheda look to be going the other way.
Well, Pats look a different team, don't they?
Fagan looks a different player.
Fagan does. He was on the score sheet, wasn't he? So, they just look a completely different team for when I was berating them earlier in the season as being passionless.
But you mentioned the experienced players they brought in. Is it down to that?
I think so. And I think things are finally gelling for them. And, yeah, some astute signings. And, but he had to do that, or else not only were they going to get relegated, but he was going to lose his job as well. So
One player who's really impressed me this season throughout has been Conan Byrne.
Yeah, he's a good player, and he's definitely a big part of that team that's coming so good at the moment. And to be honest, that scoreline flat to Drogheda.
Really,
they were well outplayed.
And they could have nicked one at the end as well.
Yeah, it'd have been rough justice, wouldn't it?
An absolute robbery.
Yeah, Drogheda down and out.
They've been gone for a couple of weeks now, John.
Yeah, turning the life support off away.
Yeah. We'll move on to Turner's Cross. Cork City came from behind to keep their record alive against Galway United. Gavin Hoolahan scoring against a former club again. That's four goals in the last two.
Well,
a hat-trick against his former club, Drogheda, and now one against Cork City.
I couldn't believe it. Where's this fella been? Because, I mean, I talked to you last week about who's this Hoolahan guy. He's come from nowhere. He's got a hat-trick and a fantastic hat-trick. And there he is again, scoring again. Galway ran caught pretty close.
Yeah, it was a good game of football too. Gary Buckley got the equaliser after 52, and then how ironic that Lee Grace's last contribution to Galway United would be an own goal costing the match.
Galway were unlucky. Does it give them some hope?
It's hard to know how the dressing room will react to the loss of Lee Grace, and obviously Farrelly didn't play as much of a role this season, but he's still a quality player, so I'm seriously worried for Galway at the moment.
Yeah, I would be as well, especially without Grace. And then Cork went and lost at home to Bowes, that long-running...
Yeah, we'll move on to that one shortly, John. I just want to ask you about something from that game. Yeah. Cork City, obviously, it was their first game without Seanie Maguire, and Campion played up front, a player you said that you really liked the look of.
Yeah.
But obviously, he played quite well against Galway, but the defeat against Bowes. So is he the right man now to carry Cork City forward for the rest of the season?
Well, I think you alluded to it last week and I was talking about him. He's a very, very different type of striker.
Yeah, a real target man.
Yeah, a target man. And he's not going to give you what Maguire does. So Cork are going to have a rethink about how they play if they're going to play Akil Campion up front.
Potential for Sadley or maybe to get a run up front, even though it's not his natural position.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, who knows, we might see him up front with Campion, but there's, you know, still Cal Shepherd there as well.
Is there any chance they could slip up?
No.
Okay. So another goal fest involving Bray Wanderers at the Carlisle grounds. Finn Harps, 3-2 winners. That man, Eddie DeSan with a goal. Mark Timlin with a debut goal. Peter Cherry seeing red in that game as well.
Yeah, that's right. And Bray are in free fall, aren't they, at the moment?
Yeah, as we mentioned, Europe is starting to slip away. Aaron Green was a player that Shamrock Rovers were chasing heavily towards the end of the transfer window. He got a goal on 71, and then Keita with a goal on 84, Brennan with the consolation on 89. So a crazy game involving Bray again. But what a job Ollie Horgan is doing.
Fantastic, yeah. It's a good job Bray were in third at this stage, because the way they're playing at the moment, if it was any earlier in the season, they could get sucked right down that tail. But you know, talked to Sain again, scoring, and... you know, I think he won the free kick for Timlin's goal as well. Yeah, so,
do you feel Harps are safe now, John?
I'm not so sure. I think they need a few more points yet, Kieran. But they're certainly looking promising, aren't they?
Yep. So then there was the 1-1 draw at the Showgrounds involving relegation Trenton Sligo and last season's champions Dundalk.
Yeah, Vamelin with the goal to put Dundalk one in front, wasn't it?
Yeah, after such a great start, you would have expected Dundalk to push on. But once again in this game, we've seen a huge error from Brian Gartland. It wasn't punished. Trying to play out from the back, it's something he clearly isn't good at, unfortunately. And I think Stephen Kenny's going to seriously have to take a look at that back line for next season.
Look, Dundalk, they're not at the best at the moment, Kieran. No. You know, the effect, I think, of them being knocked out of Europe is quite heavy on them. And really, they've not got the league to play for neither. So it's really only the FA Cup that they've got left. And I think, to be honest, Stephen Kenny can't wait till the end of the season and go again.
Yeah, after the highs of last season, it must be very hard to motivate yourself for a league game like that.
Yeah. Do you think he's still up for that?
Stephen Kenny?
Yeah.
I think so, most definitely. He's not the type of manager to rest on his laurels. I think with the players he's brought in, personally, I think in the back of it, he's not going to admit it in public, but in the back of his mind, I think he's already thinking ahead to next season.
Yeah.
So, I think Dundalk will finish top three, no problem this season. I wouldn't be concerned for them as long as Stephen Kenny is there next season.
Yeah.
Because if he goes, there's a major rebuilding job to do.
Of course, yeah.
Just on Sligo, Benny Iggeon got a goal on his debut. As we mentioned, he signed from Scarborough and he was their top scorer last season. So could he be the answer to Sligo's striking problems, especially with Cataro out now with a couple of games through suspension?
Well, they haven't been scoring goals, have they? So they needed somebody. So we'll just have to see how he goes. I don't know too much about him, Kieran. So he sounds like he's got a good scoring pedigree, but... like I said before, it's at a low level, so the jury's out.
So as we spoke about with Mike, Derry City steamrolled Limerick 3-0, goals from McNamee, Patterson and Doherty.
And all three could have been avoided for Limerick. They were all down to individual errors. I know he's talking about the goalkeeper, but I think he should have saved that Patterson goal, that second goal. Terrible back pass for the first one, and a Clark error that was 3-0. So, you know, all poor. It's not looking good for him at the moment, is it?
It's not looking good, no, and... moving on to the one you mentioned there, Bohemians ending Cork City's run, Georgie pointing with a penalty.
Yeah.
Akinade and Cork can cause an absolute mayhem again for the Cork defence. And one player who really impressed me during the Derby game and was excellent again on Monday night is Ford Sewell. He looks to be a really good economical midfield player.
Yeah, looks a decent player, all right, doesn't he? But it's the pace and power of Akinade that just won that penalty, wasn't it? And that was the difference between the two teams.
What I'm going to say next sums up the League of Ireland this season. The start of last week, Bowes, people were asking... are they in relegation trouble?
Yeah.
They're now 3 points off.
Calling all League of Ireland and fantasy football fans. Between the Stripes Charity Fantasy Football League is now open. Simply log on to paypal.me/betweenthestripes/10 and pay the €10 entrance fee with a percentage of proceeds going to the Attic Youth House in Longford Town. Prove you're the king of fantasy football and win prize money in the process. For further information, email betweenthestripes1924@gmail.com. May the best team win.
So we're joined on this week's show by undoubtedly one of the top performers in the League of Ireland Premier Division. It's Bohemian striker Dinny Corcoran. Dinny, you're very welcome to the podcast.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
So it's been a crazy week for Bohemians, Dinny. You had the massive derby win over Bohemians, or sorry, over Rovers, I should say. And then you go and end Cork City's run. What has that week been like for you?
Yeah, it's been a bit surreal, to be honest. Yeah, like you said, the two games away from home against two of the top four teams in the league. I think a lot of people expected us to get nothing out of them games at all. So to get the 6 points was massive now. And it's put us right up the table and with a bit of breathing space as well. So, yeah, it's been a great week, two great wins, yeah.
Yeah, speaking of the table, you've gone from being in a position of maybe fears of relegation to now being just 3 points off a potential European spot. Is that the goal now for Bohemians going forward this season?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're kind of looking ahead now rather than behind. Like you said, if we hadn't picked up 10 points, we'd be down there and right in it, no doubt about it. But, yeah, we've Bray now on Friday, and if we beat them, we actually go ahead of them into fifth. So it's definitely looking up the table now rather than down. But we know there's still a lot of games left, and we still have points to pick up. We could be dragged back down, so we're just taking each game at a time. And next is Bray, and we're looking to go ahead of them now on Friday.
And what do you put the recent turnaround to? Obviously, the return of Ishmael Akinade will be a big impact. I think a lot of fans would probably agree there's been maybe a burden on yourself to score the goals this season with your excellent form, but he's back now and players seem to be coming into form at the right time.
Yeah, definitely. He's been brilliant. He's like a new signing, to be honest, because he hadn't played all year, and he's a handful for any defence. But I think it's just down to the hard work every day in training, and he has made a few additions in the window which have strengthened us, definitely strengthened depth in particular, because I think we might have struggled that a bit earlier in the season, but I think on our day we can better anyone like we showed in Cork. So just a matter of kind of getting consistency together. We kind of tend to have an off day and lose to teams even lower than us, and then we go and beat a team ahead of us, you know. So I think it's just down to consistency, and we need to kind of sort that out now. We're on a good little run of two games, so see how long we can go unbeaten maybe.
Of course, this is your third spell at Bohemians, and you've played for 7 different clubs within the League of Ireland. Perhaps you were becoming known as something of a journeyman until this season. So what would you like to put down this season's form to? Has Keith Long been a massive impact on your career?
Yeah, Keith and Trevor, it's my first time working with both of them, and they've been very good now from day one. The training's been excellent, and they've shown confidence in me, and that's huge to me. Just have to look at last year. It was terrible for me. I only started 2 league games, I think it was, and I got very little football, and as a striker especially, it's a confidence thing, and my confidence was at an all-time low last season. So I was just hungrier than ever this year. I knew I had the ability, so it was just a matter of just getting down to my hard work, and I knew I could score goals, and luckily I started off well, and I've just continued on. So yeah, it was just kind of hunger this year, because I learned last year that the bad part of football, you know, not playing and stuff, and it really makes you work harder, and like I said, the hunger was there, and I just kicked off from day one and kept going.
Is it fair to say now, at this stage of your career, perhaps this is the prime years of your career, and Bows look to be a club that are really back on the rise after some very harsh years financially?
I think so, yeah. Like you said, I'm 28 now. I think I'm reaching my prime now. You can see over the last few seasons I've kind of gradually improved by last season, obviously. With the two previous seasons to that, I'd scored quite a good amount of goals, and this year I've done the same. So yeah, I feel I'm in my prime now, and yeah, no better club for me to do with than Bohemians. Like you said, I think we're on the up now. Good team this year. We've shown how good we are at times. And there's no other place I want to do it than Bohemians. So we'll see what happens.
And of course, two of your former clubs would be Sligo Rovers and St. Pat's, and they were teams you've been battling with in the lower half for stages this season. As a former player of those clubs, are you surprised by their predicaments?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're both full-time outfits, you know, and they both have great players in their squad, and I don't know what it's down to, obviously I can't say, but they've just kind of struggled this year, and it's hard to put your finger on anything, but Pats have picked up now in the last few weeks, and Sligo have got a few signings there recently, so I think I can see them both staying up alright, but yeah, I don't know what their bad form is down to there, so I couldn't put my finger on it, but it's not bothering me. I'm not concentrating on that really, to be honest, just concentrating on balls and staying up.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk in the media this season about the change in league structure and the three teams going down this season. As fans, it's absolutely fantastic view, and with the league title race particularly been over this season and maybe only the European places to play for, it's really enthralling stuff, especially when you see big clubs like Sligo and Pats down there. As a player though, how have you found this season? Is it exciting? Is it nervy? It's everything rolled into one, I suppose.
It is. It's a bit of both. Like, it is very nervy, especially at the start of the season when you heard three go down, and Ball is probably one of the smallest, if not the smallest, budget in the league, so we couldn't really afford to be, you know, splashing out on signings just to stay up this season, which other teams I think did. So yeah, it was very nervy, but like you said, at the same time, it is exciting, especially if you look at the table now. It's very tight down there. I think there's five or six teams who could go down, you know. So I think it's more nervy for me being a player than exciting, but I can see what you're saying. As an outsider looking in, it's very exciting. I think it's going to go right down to the wire now, and it's going to be interesting to see the next few weeks, the results.
Final question, Denny. 12 league goals so far this season. It's been a brilliant campaign for yourself. Have you set yourself a target till the end of the season, and what next for Denny Corcoran after this season with Buzz?
No, I haven't really set a target in terms of a number of goals. I look to score as much as I can, and I think it's 10 games we've left, 9 or 10 games left, so I'll just be looking to score, stay fit and score as many goals as possible and help Ball stay up. And in terms of what's going forward next season, I haven't a clue, to be honest. I'll just see what happens after the season's finished. I'm not thinking about that or worried about that until after the last game, so I'll deal with that then.
Denny, it's been an absolute pleasure. Congrats on the great form this season, and best of luck for the remainder of the campaign.
Cheers, Carol. Thanks very much.
Cheers, Denny.
See you now.
So we're joined now on the show to discuss the situation at Limerick by Live 95 FM reporter Mike O'Hara. Mike, you're very welcome to the podcast.
Good evening, guys.
So, Mike, at one stage this season, I think the ambition at Limerick was possibly European football, but it's taken a dramatic turn in recent weeks. Are you looking over your shoulder at relegation now?
I think that's a very fair comment. I think in the past couple of weeks, we've flirted with talking about Europe and flirting above the relegation zone. But I think on the back of some very indifferent performances in the last couple of weeks and a lot of goals conceded, 16 in the last 8, I think it's very fair to say a lot of Limerick supporters very concerned. They're feeling a bit sweaty around the neck because at one stage, as I say, we were feeling very confident of pushing towards Europe. The ambition has always been Europe, as spoken by the club before the start of the season. The budget has seemed to be there, some good players recruited, but it all seems to have fallen down around us in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I suppose the decision to part company with Martin Russell would have signalled that ambition for the club to push on. It looks like the club, maybe from an outsider point of view, maybe you'll give us a better insight as a Limerick man, maybe the appointment of McDonald hasn't been the best decision.
Well, I suppose to go back to the start, I would have always thought before the beginning of the season, Martin's tenure at Limerick was on tender hooks. There were rumours about it towards the end of last season when Limerick took the foot off the gas at the end of the First Division season. We lost our strength and conditioning coach. We got a new one in instead of Derek McCarthy in the shape of Joe Gamble. And then you would have felt that on the managerial front, Martin's style of football would have been conducive to the Premier Division. But Limerick got off to that brilliant start against Sligo, beating them 5-1, and eventually only picked up another win in the opening 6 or 7 games. And look, they lost 3-0 against Cork, but I think there were rumours before that Martin was going to go. Then we had the Willie Boland, who only lost 2 of his games. He drew more than he won or lost, but I think, to be fair, he brought a lot of stability to Limerick and picked up some vital results. And then there was that long 6 and 7 week arduous interview process where Limerick looked for managers. There was all sorts of names mentioned, from Roy Keane to Brian Kerr. And, you know, eventually we came down to Neil McDonald, who I believe throughout the process wasn't in contention. And, you know, he made contact with the club 5-6 weeks into that process, was interviewed over the space of the weekend. And when you looked at his pedigree in the clubs that he'd worked for, and remember he was only in the Premiership a wet year ago, as such, with Mike Phelan at Hull, he looked on paper to be the one. He did say at the press conference on the opening morning where we met him that clean sheets were very achievable. And I think that's the one thing that I've been hugely disappointed in. Limerick's defensive record, and you and I both know it's very important in this league that you keep things tight, particularly in the Premier Division. We haven't done that at the moment. So there are, to be fair to Limerick supporters, question marks over a manager who has released three stalwarts of the club in recent years. And I don't think it's been ingenuous to say that, you know, Neil's tenure at this club will depend on whether he keeps the club in the Premier Division or not. Whether or not he has a 1.5 or a 2.5 or a 3-year deal, I don't think it makes a huge difference, because if attendances drop, then Limerick simply won't be able to afford to keep a manager that hasn't proven himself as of yet, even though he's picked up the most points out of the three Limerick managers this year.
Yeah, every week when I'm writing my notes for the show, the one thing I jot down every week about Limerick is silly goals given away. We've seen it again at the weekend against Derry. 13 seconds or so into the game, a ridiculous back pass played in Barry McNamee, and once Derry went ahead, you got the feeling that Limerick weren't going to get back into the game. So where does the leakage of goals come from? A lot of people associated with the a counter to Martin Russell's style of football. People thought, you know, Russell plays good football, but his team are going to give away goals playing that way. But since Russell has departed, those goals have not only continued, they've increased.
Well, my take on it is very simple. Martin Russell's way of playing the ball is from keeper to the centre-backs, and it works through Shane Duggan from midfield, and that worked to an extent for Limerick going forward. But time and time again, and I suppose, to be fair, in games last year, Burko, it was a matter that, you know, lapses of concentration, games were too easy for Limerick, that they gave silly goals away. And I think you could count probably half, if even more than that, of the goals Limerick conceded were self-inflicted, and it was a case of self-destruction. And again this season, time and time again, we just look so vulnerable when the opposition are attacking us. And even Sligo up to a couple of weeks ago, when they came to the Markets Field, Limerick probably had 65-70% of the possession. But every time Sligo broke that halfway line, it looked like Limerick were out of shape. Formation had pretty much crumbled. And Sligo, if they showed a bit more ambition, could have got in a couple of times. I think, to be fair to Neil, he certainly brought a bit more of a direct display from Limerick, and so too did Willie Boland. So that's been knocked out of the players. They do try a lot of diagonals out from the back. They don't go through the centre as much. But I think then our problem, even though we're getting the ball up there quicker, it's coming back just as quick, because Rodrigo Tozzi wouldn't be the most mobile of strikers, and Chidozie Ogbeni, if he doesn't get on the ball with the first ball over the top, his tracking back ability hasn't been proven as of yet. So I think, even though you can say one way it worked under Martin Russell, and even though the long ball has worked to an extent with Neil MacDonald, I think the defence at the moment are being put under remarkable pressure, because when Limerick play those long balls, they're losing it just as quick. And in the Premier Division, when you've quality sides coming back at you, they always find a way. And just to take on your point from Derry last weekend, I don't think many Limerick supporters would have had much ambition of getting a result going up to McGinn Park. But when you go behind after 27 seconds, morale was on the floor from what happened with the players leaving in the previous few days. I think Limerick did well to get out of there with just a 3-0 defeat.
A final question from me, Mike, before I pass you over to John. Six players out recently and only two in. Where has the decision-making come? Is there any talk of maybe a budget cut at Limerick, or has it just simply been the manager trying to put his own stamp on the team?
I think it's certainly the latter, Burko. I think, to be fair to Neil MacDonald, he always said that, you know, it would be his type of player. It's a phrase a lot of managers use, that, you know, they'll use their type of player going forward in the division. For me, it was just the wrong time for Neil MacDonald to make such a cull in the squad. To be fair, he's brought in Henry Cameron in a 1.5-year deal. And also Joe Crow, of course, has that experience with Norwich, an under-23 level. But to drop players like Robbie Williams, Sean Kelly, and even the likes of Ian Turner and the workhorse that was Chris Mulhall, and especially Paul O'Connor, who was so flexible in the team, I really cannot explain that one. At the time of the season where it's just crucial to pick up the two or three wins that Limerick needed, then maybe he could have looked at cutting the squad. I always thought he'd be having the ability to bring in players with the stature that he had, the contacts he should have from England. But at the moment, from what I believe, there's been one striker in on trial this week, a Hungarian lad. And you and I both know, we've mentioned in the last couple of minutes, it's probably a defender that Limerick need to bring in, somebody just to stabilise things at the back, because we're just one or two injuries or a suspension away from a major, major defensive crisis. We have a centre-half playing left-back. You know, we've got a striker who was signed as a striker or winger, and Dean Clark playing right full. It's defensively Limerick badly need to buckle up, and you and I both know with teams just below them smelling blood and teams above Limerick fighting for Europe, we're in a very, very precarious position, and if we're vulnerable at the back, it's the last thing you need at this stage of the season.
Mike, would it be fair to say, I mean, I've watched Limerick this season and I've been very impressed with the front too, but you know, they've always seemed a little bit leaky at the back and conceding goals. And I think the performance of the strikers is sort of like, it sort of takes the shadow off that. But in recent weeks, Tosi seems to have lost a bit of form. And that, therefore, you've seen, you know, the fact that they're not scoring goals and they've still got these defensive frailties, which are only going to get worse now with these players that have gone out. So, you know, that would be my concern for Limerick.
And I think, to be fair, John, it's everybody's concern at Limerick, because bar two or three players who are playing to their ability, I think we're struggling for form. And when you look at the likes of Galway, Sligo, Pats, even Finn Harps, they're showing ability to pick up points at the moment. And I really genuinely cannot see where Limerick's next point is coming from. And I know people will listen to this and say that's very negative. But if you look at the performances recently, they have not been good enough for Premier football. And that's the big concern. And the fans aren't blind to it. There's been a hell of an amount of reaction on Shannon's side towards what's happening. And like you say, if Tozzi isn't firing in the goals, and to be fair, you know, he's done well enough for a Brazilian guy coming into the league for his first ever time. If he's not scoring the goals, then you're looking at Chidozie Ogbeni as your next leading scorer. But after that, Limerick really, really struggle to find a reliable, solid goal getter. And that's why the disposal of even Paul O'Connor is a surprise, because he was always good for a goal, foraging through from midfield. And like you say, if you're not scoring goals, it means you have to be tight at the back and hopefully nick something. We're not at this present moment. And to be fair, even to Brendan Clark and Freddie Hall when he's come in, the two goalkeepers have been overworked on occasions. Brendan was excellent against Derry last week. He had a fine outing and definitely saved a point against Sligo Rovers with a brilliant late save. So I think in the goalkeeping department, we're absolutely fine. It's just that back four. It's vulnerable, it's inexperienced, and I think at this moment in time, it's fair to say it's probably not good enough when you consider what the strikers are available in the clubs in around fighting those relegation places with Limerick.
Yeah, Mike, I mean, we looked at the Derry match, and Kieran alluded to it, a lot of individual mistakes, and look, it's not going to get easier next match. You're away to Dundalk.
Yeah, away to Dundalk on Friday evening, and I suppose it doesn't get hugely easier after that either, because we have that rearranged game with Shamrock Rovers at home, and Rovers will be still thinking that they can fight for fourth or fifth in the Premiership table, and that might be good enough for Europe, certainly fourth if the cup goes to Cork or Dundalk or one of the teams above them. And then after that, you even have Bohemians who are fast becoming the best travellers in the league, because, I mean, I think they're third best at the moment. So nothing is easy for Limerick at the moment. And when morale is low and when team confidence is low, and like I mentioned, it's very hard to see where the next points come from. I will say one thing, John, in our favour, is that in the latter half of the season, we have six home games left to play. And albeit we've only won three at home so far in the opening half of the season, when you consider Galway and Drogheda and Finn Harps have all to come to the Markets Field, if Limerick can earmark those games and get 7 to 9 points, I think 7 will guarantee at this moment their Premier League survival. It all depends on what the teams below Limerick do. You don't fancy Limerick getting anything this weekend, and you've got sides down below Limerick in around them playing each other. So it all depends what happens below Limerick to make us really, really look over our shoulder. 5 points at the moment, is it enough of a gap? I don't think so. But is there enough of ability in this Limerick team to get points at home? There probably is, with the likes of Duggan, Lynch, Ogbeni and Tozzi. If they can find form in the right games, I think we might just scrape at home.
Mike, we're going to leave the final word with you. Are Limerick going to stay up this season? And will we see Liam McDonald in the dugout at the Markets Fields next season?
Well, I think a double yes on that, and certainly more hopeful than anything that we do stay up, because I was involved with the club for many years when they played in the First Division, and you couldn't get any worse than we were at the time. I think lucky just to keep the club alive. It's important that Limerick maintain their Premier League status. Crowds of around 1,500-1,600 this season haven't to be sniffed at when you look around the rest of the league. So I think the Premier League needs Limerick as well. It needs the Markets Field, and fingers crossed that we pick up the points. Would I say I'm overconfident? No, I'm certainly erring on the side of caution on that one. Maybe, though, Neil MacDonald, with players still eligible to come in who are out of contract between now and the end of August, he'll be able to muster something up. We definitely need some kind of replacements. The bench is too light. And will Neil MacDonald be in the dugout at the start of next season? At this time, I'd have to say yes. He's got a good deal at Limerick. He's also brought in an assistant in Eric Kinder, who's had to relocate to Ireland after ending his tenure at Blackburn Rovers.
Okay, so we're moving on to the First Division, Kieran, and good win for Cove at Wexford.
Yeah, James McSweeney and Whitmarsh with the goals there for Cove. They face Longford Town next. The title's gone for Cove, but second place is still up for grabs. And with UCD losing to Cabinteely, we'll discuss that in a minute. It was a great result for Cove.
Yeah, I think they're, what, 9 points behind, and there's only six matches to go. So, yeah, time's really run out on Cove. Barring an absolute disaster for Waterford, you'd think that's all over. And
obviously, Cove have had a really good season, but I think that'll be a disappointing result for Wexford. They've been trying to improve their home form of late. And they had the defeat to Longford and now the defeat to Cove, so they've just started to go on a little slide again.
And Cove boosted by Stephen Ennison signing a new contract.
He's done an absolutely amazing job over the last couple of years with Cove, and we had him on the very first show here, and he's an absolute gentleman to talk to, and you just love to see him doing well. I'll be down at the game on Saturday, so I'll definitely catch a word with him again for the podcast, because he's just great to speak to. He's full of energy, and I can imagine the players in that dressing room just love to work for him.
Yeah, and we talked about Waterford Athlone last week with cricket score or rugby score, we said, didn't we? Well,
it was respectable, John.
Yeah, 3-1.
They even equalised at one stage, was 3 minutes after McDade had put Waterford ahead.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I think that might give Roddy a bit of encouragement, but I think he'll still want to make a few more signings, won't he, to make that team his own.
If the bank balance is there, that's the thing, John.
Well, that's it. So Waterford marching on. Can't see anything other than that the league being over.
Yeah, so we won't discuss if the league is over, because it clearly is. I'd love to get your thoughts on next season for Waterford. If this squad, if they were to make no signings, if this squad was to go up, would they be good enough to stay up?
I think so, yeah. I mean, we've seen clubs go up and stay up in the past, so there's no reason why Waterford can't do that again.
They haven't impressed me this season, John.
Have they not?
No, their style of football. Now, in the last two games I've seen them, the first two they played against Longford, wasn't impressed with them. There's a lot of direct football, a lot of long ball. But in the most recent one they played against us, they play and the home game where they beat us 1-0, they played a lot more on the ground. Was a lot more exciting to watch. But they haven't exactly ran away with the league. They've been a comfortable distance ahead all season, but they haven't done a limerick on it.
Well, maybe that's
as many people expected.
Maybe that's what they're happy enough we're doing that this season, Kieran, and then they'll strengthen. You know, in the club.
Oh, they'll undoubtedly strengthen, and when they do strengthen, you'd imagine the likes of the players they can bring in with the finances they have, that they'll probably stay up quite comfortably next season. But this squad as a whole, I don't think would be good enough to stay in the Premier Division, but I suppose that's just a theoretical thing. There's no point really going much further on it.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say any of the other clubs that are being promoted, then you'd be looking at them coming straight back down.
It's a very poor First Division this season, John.
And anybody can beat anybody, as we've seen in recent weeks, so... apart from maybe Waterford, and that's just the difference. They're just a little, they're just like one step ahead of the rest of the teams, Kieran. And that's the difference. Whereas any team can go to any other team, beat them. Look at that result, UCD 2, Cabinteely 3.
I think it all comes down to the front two, though, Waterford, just before we go on to the next game. McDade and O'Sullivan, they're undoubtedly the two best strikers in the division.
Yeah.
And they won't take time to adapt to the Premier. We've seen Mark O'Sullivan in the past at Cork City, real direct target man. McDade is the opposite. He's a real silky footballer. So, They complement each other quite well, so I think they'll settle into the Premier quite well. They just need to make a couple of signings here and there, and they will be fine for next season.
Yeah.
But UCD 2, Cabinteely 3. Was that a surprise result for you, John?
I think so, but my old friend Kieran Marty Waters with 2 goals.
Are Cabo going to struggle to hang on to him next season? He's been a revelation for them.
Oh, surely he's got to be going at a higher standard somewhere. You know, he's still capable of playing Premier League football.
Easily.
Yeah.
And on the other side of the coin, Georgie Kelly with another goal. That's 13 for the season now. Top scorer in the league. He's had a mighty season.
Yeah, superb. 13 goals in that division is serious. He's the kind of fella you'd love to have at Longford.
And the other highly rated player at UCD also got on the score sheet, their centre-half, Maxi Onkugion. He's a player that's been linked with the likes of Limerick, and he's probably a player that they should have looked to bring in given their leaky back four.
Well, exactly. Been an ideal signing, wouldn't he, as a replacement for Williams? But... you know, that's not going to happen now. But yeah, so look, I mean, I think that's pretty much ended UCD's season that result. So again, that's another
second place would still be a great achievement for them. It's just a huge pity there's no playoffs for a UCD Cup to play for.
Yeah, and that's a story we've been through a number of times on the show. So
just equally as disappointing was Longford's result of the weekend, a 3-1 defeat to Shelburne, John.
Yeah, really disappointing. Longford looking in control of that match until the injury to Noel Haverty. And then a reckless second yellow card from
Daniel O'Reilly. He's been our best performer this season, there's no doubt, but it was a silly tackle.
He was head and shoulders above anybody else on that pitch that match. And with his sending off, it looked like pretty much curtains. Longford lost the two centre-backs, the two first-choice centre-backs, and it's bad enough losing one without losing two.
Yeah, so we've seen earlier in the season when Noel Haverty was out from the very first game. He went off injured in Talca Park after 3 minutes of the opening game, and he was out for nearly the first two series of games. And you could see the void he left in the back four. So with him out now again, Longford will probably let in a few more goals than they've been letting in of late.
And Kieran, I have to talk to you about goalkeeper situation again, because another clanger from Skinner.
Yeah, I actually asked Neil Fenn after the game for Shannon's side, the goalkeeping situation. I mentioned to him that there was some major kicking errors during the game.
Yep.
And did he feel that maybe Jack Brady was now going to get a run of games, considering he hasn't played all season? And the answer he gave was that he wasn't going to make any knee-jerk reactions. That he had looked back, there has been a couple of mistakes in the last couple of weeks, but that basically the lads that perform best in training will play. So we'll just have to see what comes of that in the next few weeks.
Well, Jack Brady obviously needs to pull his finger out of training, because I'm sorry, but he's making too many mistakes, this game, and it's costing Longford.
Yeah.
It's nearly every match that there's
anybody. It is every match, and you can't play on the surface at the City Car Stadium, because it's the best in the league.
No,
and considering the style of play that Neil Fenn wants to play, he wants his players to play out from the back, starting with the goalkeeper. If you have a goalkeeper that's not comfortable with the ball at his feet, you might as well just scrap that and go along.
And I was stunned to see he was named captain for that match.
Yeah, I suppose he would be one of the more experienced players in the squad, but you would probably want to see it because one of your midfield men, I suppose. Yeah,
I never like to see a goalkeeper as a captain.
No, the same as that. But the biggest blow to come out of that game was probably that Kevin O'Connor didn't make it. He was named in the starting 11, but pulled out in the warm-up after an injury. So he was a big blow to Longford on the night, because he's a huge part of how they play.
Yeah, and I thought Cody looked a bit lost in midfield, Cody Mulhall.
It's a new position that Neil Fenner seemed to adopt him in. We've seen him come on against Wexford and he got on the ball quite a lot. I actually thought Cody done quite all right. He looked to pick up the ball from deep, link up with players. Fitness is obviously something he's going to have to work on. He's been out for long periods this season. Obviously had a car crash and stuff like that. So I think that's a position from the bench. I don't think he could play a full 90 from there. But I think it's interesting.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
And we'll obviously see with the three new players that have come in, and obviously Kaleem Simon to come into the team too. I'm still quite confident that Longford will have a good end to the season, and next season we can have something a lot more exciting.
Well, hopefully.
So we're joined on the line now by Port Marnock manager. It's Willie O'Leary. Willie, you're very welcome to the podcast.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
So you have an absolutely massive game coming up in the Cup. It's a Dublin derby against St Pat's. Are you nervous? Are you excited? Are you everything rolled into one?
It's probably a mix of everything, to be quite honest. It's a great day for the club. I mean, it's what you train the Mucky Knights to do, to draw a big name like St Patrick's Athletic. Obviously, we're still in pre-season, so that's a worry, because obviously we're up against a full-time professional outfit, experienced players who are in mid-season. So that obviously presents its own problems and worries, but look, we'll have to deal with that. But look, if we can make it a day, that's a memorable day for the club and the community, we'll be happy with that.
For those that don't know a lot about Port Marnock, Willie, can you tell us a bit about the club and maybe some background and history on it?
Yeah, well, the club was formed in sort of the early 80s, and essentially they played junior football for several years. They had national success with the FAI Junior Cup in early 2000s when we won it. They've experienced the club basically with the large schoolboys contingency as well, and it's community based obviously. But look, we've had players who've played with the club have gone on to play League of Ireland one or two, Tipper Tove, and in England as well. Essentially, it's a club where we've had the FAI Senior Cup experience as well. Beat Dundalk a few years ago, or I think it was 2002, and got beaten by Longford. So It's a striving club, an ambitious club, and we pride ourselves. We've got facilities up on the ground of Paddy's Hill, and as I said, we cater for both the senior setup and the schoolboy setup in the area.
Yeah, Willie, I was looking and I noticed that you've had a few big name players that have gone through Portmarnock, Stephen Dawson and Stephen Ward as well. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah, Stephen played schoolboy football, and Stephen Dawson as well. Connor Pepper, who's currently involved with Morton, and he's actually helping us a little bit with the coaching at the moment. He played a bit of football with Portmarnock as well. And then in respect of our own team at the moment, like, we several players have dipped their toe into the League of Ireland football down through the years, like a goalkeeper, Brian Kane, played with Bray, with the two Rusks, Graham and Philip, who both played League of Ireland, Gareth Whelan played with Drogheda, and recently David Shepherd as well, younger brother Carl, he played with Galway for a while. Also the likes of, we signed recently Conor Powell, you're probably familiar with Longford.
Oh yeah,
Longford,
so we know him all right, really.
You know him well, yeah. So we have lads who have experience playing at a higher level.
I've got to say, you've some good players there, certainly. You know that hopefully they may, you never know, they might be able to hopefully give Pats a bit of a shock.
Yeah, well, look, we all believe, that's why we get up in the morning. You know, we always think up to the games, but look, laws of probability, but it's stacked against us, let's call it a day. But, you know, as I said, years ago, actually, funny, curious enough, I was involved with, as a player, in the squad, the Bohemian squad, that got beaten by St. Francis in the semi-final of the FAI Senior Cup, so I know what it's like to be on the end of a shock. But look, we have to measure our expectations. Look, all we want is to make it a, you know, let the lads, what you really want is the players not to free us, to do their best, you know, and not walk off that pitch saying, I should have done this or I should have done that, you know.
And Willie,
no expectations.
Have you got any youngsters in the team at the moment that we should be keeping our eye on?
There's a few lads coming through. You know, like, predominantly we have the mixed age group, so we've several players who are sort of late teens, early 20s, like some Niall Kenny, centre-back, very good prospect. Young lad Dean Whelan, Dean's carrying an injury at the moment, so he probably won't be involved, but he's one of your quintessential street footballers, very comfortable on the ball. Young lad Carl Ivory, Philip Husk as well, who would be relatively young. And, you know, the lads who have gained valuable experience over the years, even though they're still reasonably young, so realise that, sometimes have to realise that they're actually still in their early 20s. But it's some good mixture between youth and experience in the team.
So good balance then. Well, Willie, I'm going to put you on the spot and ask for a prediction.
I couldn't. Look, we know we're up against us. I mean, in fairness to St. Pat's, Dean Buckley and Gerard Bryan came and watched us there. They're friendly over the weekend, so, you know, there's professional endeavour coming out and have a look. We're up against it. Like, you know, I watched them last week up in Drogheda. There's some fabulous players. You know, Colin Boyle, Curtis, Killian Brennan, you know, Christy Fagan. So, look, all we're looking for is to keep getting, you know, go out there and just perform to the best of our ability and see what happens. You know, we could be on the end of a tonk and you could cause an upset. Who knows? But, you know, all we can do is, the only thing I'm asking of our lads is to go out. Don't leave that behind the pitch. Don't have any regrets afterwards. That's all we can do, and then we can see where that leads. That's all we can do.
Well, Willie, it's always a pleasure to have a fresh voice from outside of the league on the show, so we want to thank you for taking time out to speak to us, and very best of luck against St. Pat's.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Willie.
Thanks a lot.
Are you involved in a local, national or international business? If so, Between the Stripes may be the perfect advertising partner for your company. We are currently offering low-cost, high-return sponsorship packages to cater for businesses small and large. For more information, email us on betweenthestripes1924@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
So we'll round the show up this week, John, by running through the fixtures from both divisions. We'll start with the Premier Division.
Yeah, Rovers against Derry, third against fifth.
Yeah, a battle for Europe, I suppose, really, isn't it?
Fourth against third.
Against third. I think Rovers home form, 7 wins, 3 losses, 2 draws. Nicky Lowe is out suspended for Derry, and he's been really impressive of late. But Derry are on a 3-match winning streak, and Rovers just looked really, really poor in that derby for me. So I think we're going to see Derry go away from Tallaght with the 3 points.
Yeah, they're playing really well at the moment, aren't they, Derry?
Yeah, moving on then to Finn Harps against Galway. That's a massive six-pointer, really, isn't it?
It's huge. I mean, I think if Harps win this, that's them safe.
Yeah, 3 wins in the last 4 for Harps, whereas Galway United have no away win this season, and you couldn't ask to go to a tougher place than Ballybuffet.
No, nobody likes going there, do they? And look, Harps are 4 points above the drop zone, so...
Whereas Galway are 4 from safety. So the pressure's really on Galway here. They're going to have to come out and attack. That could play into Harps' hand, get them on the counter-attack, especially with the new pacey players in the team, like Timlin, Desan and Kieta.
Well, they all seem to be on fire at the moment, don't they? Harps win for me, Kieran.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there, John. Yeah. Moving on, I'll be at this game myself tomorrow night. It's the Champions Dundalk taking on struggling Limerick.
Yeah, well, Limerick are struggling. You've got it exactly right there.
Well, should I say two teams that are struggling, actually, because Dundalk have no win since the 5th of July. I know they've been out of league action, considering their European run. And Limerick have only won 1 in their last 4.
It all points to, for me, you know, it still points to a Dundalk win. I can't see Limerick getting anything from that.
Limerick are so unpredictable. So, so unpredictable. And Dundalk... it's very rare you see a team go to Oriel and take away points. I know Shamrock Rovers did it recently, but
they'll be looking for Benny to hit them on the break, won't they? I think they'll just try and sit back.
We'll have
back
to see how Dundalk line up now with Barragán out with the team. Nico Vermeulen has been impressive, despite
he's been very good, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been very, very good. A player that really impressed me last year with Derry, so it's no surprise that he's doing so well. Gatland will be looking to improve on his performances. They've been poor of late. Dan Massey has been good on the left side, but Sean Gallen has been caught out a couple of times on the right side. So, you know, with the pace of Ibonne, you do mention it there, Limerick could get some joy from this game.
Yeah, and like I said, you just wonder how big an effect that loss in Europe had on Dundalk.
Yeah,
and there's very little to play for in the league.
One man we haven't mentioned, Kilduff, has also gone from Dundalk. So,
that's right, moved to America.
All the pressure now is on McMillan's shoulders. And we know exactly how McMillan plays. He runs himself into the ground for 90 minutes. Who are Dundalk going to bring off the bench to replace him when that happens?
And there's rumours that there's foreign clubs looking at McMillan as well.
No surprises, performances in Europe were excellent again this year.
Yeah.
Connolly yet to settle, so him against Albenia would be a great battle to watch. I'd love
that
to see that.
Be, shouldn't it?
So you're going to go for a Dundalk win?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going to call it a draw.
Okay. We beg to differ on that one.
We'll move along. Drogheda, it's say it every week, last chance saloon. They're playing against Cork City. There's probably no hope, is there, John?
No.
15 games without a win.
No, I mean, that just says it all, don't we? And we talked a few weeks ago with Gerard Grimes, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And just their lack of goals. I think they'd scored 2 in however many matches. Mm. Look, they're dead and buried. Cork will beat them easily.
You couldn't have two teams in contrasting form. Draw to 15 without a win. Cork lost their first game of the entire season on Monday night.
I'd be a bit concerned for Pete Martin as well. He seems to have lost the plot with his post-match interview.
He looks very stressed when he comes out and does his interviews. Yeah. He looks like it's really getting to him. The whole situation with John Gill and players leaving, that can't have helped. It's just been an absolute mess because they had a good start to the season, John. That's probably the most frustrating thing if you're a Drogheda fan.
Yeah, I suppose, but they've just...
the wheels have just come off.
They've gone off, they've gone down the hill and they're in the next county.
And you could see a cricket score here.
Definitely.
Yeah. So moving on then, Bohemians taking on Bray at Dalymount Park.
Can't look beyond Bowes for this.
Yeah, two massive wins in a week for Bowes, whereas Brave only had 1-6. They're simply to draw. The wheels have come off because of probably things off the field there.
Yeah.
We've mentioned the two main men for Bowes. The European dream is alive at Dalymount Park, John.
It is, and I can see 3 points very easily here for Bowes, and that would be amazing if they could get into Europe.
Yeah, they've had so many harsh years financially, so it would be absolutely wonderful to see. And a manager like Keith Long, I think his stock is really on the rise. And
absolutely, yeah.
It would only progress his career greatly if he could get Bowes into Europe.
Yeah, absolutely.
On Saturday night, it's Sligo against Pats. That's another big game at the bottom, despite Pats' recent form.
Yeah, well, Pats are ever improving, and I start to really like the look of them. I think he's really turned it around there, and you know, I can see them winning that.
Yeah, Sligo just don't look the part at the moment. But then we have the new players here, so we'll get the first glimpse of them, how he's going to accommodate the likes of Vinnie Fatterty into the team. But for me, I haven't been impressed with Gerard Little since he's come in. Liam Buckley, despite all the stick he's taken this season, he is an experienced campaigner in this league. He knows what it's all about. I can only see a Pats win.
And fair dues to the board of Pats, because they had the option to to pull the trigger.
They had the meeting. They had an emergency meeting, but they decided to back the manager and credit him for that.
And he's made some great signings, and they look a good team again. You know, I'd say they wish the season was a few matches longer. You know?
Yeah. Just on a side note there, John, there's two games taking place then on Tuesday night. Limerick host Shamrock Rovers, Sligo host Bray. Just give us quick predictions for those ones.
Limerick Rovers, I think that could be a draw. Mm-hmm. And Sligo against Bray, I'm also going for a draw on that one.
I'll go Sligo and I will go draw also on that top game. But we'll move on to the first division now, John. So, Athlone hosting Wexford.
Yeah, basement battle this one, isn't
basement
it?
Basement battle is right. Who's going to take control?
Well, I think it could be, it'll be close, but I think Wexford will win.
I'm going to go Athlone. I think the new players could just add a little bit of spice there, really? A little bit of spark.
I'm not seeing it yet.
Despite him crossing the divide, I'd love to see Tanda do well. He's a real top lad, and it's great to see a League Ireland player walking around the town as well, even though he's playing for the wrong town now. But best of luck to him on his move, and it'd be nice to see him get a goal against Wexford.
Yeah, it would.
So Cabotealy taking on Waterford. Can Cabo frustrate the league leaders?
Well, look, if there's any hope whatsoever for the likes of UCD and Cove, Cabo will have to win this one. But
yeah, they're a team that could just throw a little bit of surprise in there, I suppose.
Yeah, I think they were beaten earlier in the season quite heavily by Waterford.
Yeah, that was one where I actually predicted it would be a tight game and Waterford ended up winning 3-4. Yeah. So I'm not going to get myself in the same situation this time. I think Waterford are just going to sneak it.
I agree.
Shelburne against UCD is the final game on Friday night. Dublin Derby.
Yeah, I was impressed enough with Shells.
I was very impressed with Shells. We probably should have mentioned that earlier on. I know we have a tendency to go in a little bit more on detail on Longford, but their two goals after descending off on the counter-attack, I thought they were fantastic footballing moves.
Yeah, and they've got a great target man there as well, haven't they?
Yeah, there's some real physical players up front. Adam Evans has been a great player for them since he came in from Bowes there last season. So some nice players coming in. I think Owen Heary, with the resources he has, very, very limited, I think he's doing a good job. Yeah. And be interesting to see what Shells can do next season.
Absolutely, yeah.
Finally then, Cove Ramblers taking on Longford Town. Longford haven't had a lot of joy against Cove this season. Can they turn it around with the new players coming in?
No, well, I think we saw one of Matthew's last matches, wasn't it, when we went down to Cove last, and they were pretty abysmal, weren't they?
Terrible. Yeah. I haven't seen a good... Cove just seem to have our number. They just seem to sit back, soak up not a huge amount of pressure. They're just doing basic standard defending, and then they're catching Longford on the break when Longford are getting frustrated and overcommitting.
Every time I've predicted Longford to lose, they've won. So I'm going for Cove.
Yeah, I hope the Longford players aren't listening. I have a bad feeling about this one again. Just from the games I've seen, I've been at all three games against Cove. The goals we've conceded in all three games have been exactly the same.
Yeah. I think we need a striker, Kieran.
I was very surprised he didn't bring a striker in. But speaking to Davey O'Sullivan the other night, he's hoping to be back for this one. The only slight concern is the pitch down there. It's very bumpy, very hard. Maybe not the best game to bring a player with a groin injury back. But it's all focus on the cup game for Longford now against Sligo Rovers. Yeah. So even no matter what the scoreline is, I think if he could give Sully 15 at the end against Cove, it'd be a good run out for him. Throw him up front from the start against Sligo. Hopefully there's going to be a big crowd. I know Section O are trying to revive themselves for that game and get a big vocal backing for the lads. So it's going to be a big occasion, and we'd encourage everyone in Longford to get out for that game and really get behind the lads. But final word with you, John. Cove, Longford, you've gone for Cove.
I have, yeah. Of course, like I say, last time I tipped Longford to lose, they won.
Yeah, so I'm gonna agree with you. Hopefully we're proven wrong, and we'll get some post-match reaction after that game, and we'll bring it to you on next week's show. But that has been episode 9, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. We had an absolutely fantastic listenership last week. Over 355 of you joined us. We had interviews with Pat Flynn, John O'Sullivan. We had a fan from Italy on the show, and we had a couple of other guests as well. So we want to thank all of those lads for coming on the show. Thanks to everyone for listening, everyone that shared. We'll encourage you to do the same again with this week's show. But do you want to tell the folks about episode 10 next week, John?
Oh, so it's going to be a massive one, isn't it? To celebrate our 10th...
Our 10th show. People thought we'd just sizzle away after a couple of shows, but we're here to stay, folks.
It's been brilliant, hasn't it?
It's been great. Yeah,
and like I say, 350 last week, that surpassed my wildest expectations.
Yeah, it's not our first show is the highest, but I think anyone that's listened to the shows will see that the quality, the sound quality, the content, the guests, everything has picked up as we've got going through the shows. We're at a good high level now, I hope everyone agree. And I hope you'll all join us next week for episode 10. We're not going to give away too much at the moment. We have some big guests lined up, so hopefully everyone will join us for that. Final note, we were supposed to do Facebook Live tonight, couple of technical difficulties, so we might try that again in the future. Not a big issue, you can still listen to this on Mixcloud. So give it a like, give it a share. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again next week.
Thank you for listening to Between the Stripes League of Ireland podcast. Click the follow button on Mixcloud now and never miss an episode. Want something featured on next week's show or to react to this episode? If so, follow and contact us on Twitter at Between Stripes. Or alternatively, find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, for all the latest news and updates, check out our website, www.betweenthestripesblog.wordpress.com. Thank you for your support.